Most of us use lists to keep on top of things that we have to do. Grocery lists, Christmas card lists, bucket lists, those things to do before we die. And I know there are even people who have lists to keep track of their lists. King David's to-do list would be pretty interesting, I think. Finally, take control of Jerusalem, defeat aggressive neighbor kings, build a royal castle, don't forget to worship God, and the subject of today's really important Old Testament passage, build a temple, a house for the Ark of the Covenant, for God's presence. Then there's the royal prophet Nathan. He's got a to-do list. Listen to God's voice, especially when I'm dreaming. Prophesy doom to people when they worship idols, and way up there on the list, give the king good and holy advice from God. And especially give him the go-ahead for that house of God idea of his. That sounds like a good one. But you know, there is no list, no matter how good we think it is, that shouldn't be harmonized with what God has in mind to do. That starts with create the cosmos from nothing. Create life from nothing. Sustain all creation in existence. Reveal myself to people over the centuries, slowly enough so they can get it, and not so fast that they feel overwhelmed. Letting them know in many ways that I created them to share my blessed life with them. But God also had a very specific to-do list for the situation in today's passage. First, appear to Nathan in a dream, and second, send him to the king with a few lists of his own to put David in his place. Here's the conversation between Nathan and the king, using those words of God. It's a reminder of the list of things that God had done for David. He says, I took you from following sheep. I made you the prince over my people, not your people. I have conquered all your enemies. I have been with you everywhere, including when you cut off Goliath's head and when I kept King Saul from killing you. Then there's the list of what David had done for God without God's strength. Almost nothing. You know, that's a reminder for us. Without God, what we can accomplish in the world, while it can seem pretty amazing to us, it's really pretty limited. We do our best as individuals and as a society. We come up with technological gadgets. We try to keep our enemies at bay, even the tiny microbial ones. The gods of history never make covenants. They act primarily in their own self-interest. They don't promise anything. They meddle, often with violence. Most of all, the gods invented by humans never prophesy great things that will happen in the future. But the God of the whole cosmos makes an astounding promise to the one he has made king over his people. He tells him, stop your foolishness. You are not going to build a house for me, for I cannot be contained in a building. No, but I am going to build you a house, a dynasty that will last forever. Your descendant will be my son, and his throne, his house, will last forever. God is patient. God is the master of history. God is the one whose plan for our salvation is assured, never in doubt. Prophets and angels throughout time announce this to humans over and over. Today's psalm announces it. Now, when we look at what archangels do, I imagine they're pretty busy. I don't think God wastes the power that he gave them when he created them. In the history of God saving his people, Archangel Gabriel appears occasionally to prophets. But when the time is right for God to fulfill his sacred oath to David, Gabriel announces the birth of John the Baptist to his father Zechariah. And now he comes to Mary with the news that the time has come. The time is full. The time is right for God to do what he promised 1,000 years earlier to David the king. Mary, I'm sure, had a lot on her mind already. She was engaged to Joseph, thinking about what that was going to mean for her life. Then, very dramatically, God's holiest angel presents her with the most important list any human being, except the God-man Jesus, has ever been given. You are going to conceive. You are going to bear a son. You are going to name him Jesus. And by the way, you and Joseph are going to raise the Savior that God promised to David, Joseph's ancestor, 1,000 years ago, that Isaiah prophesied 700 years ago, that many prophets have foretold since then. And Mary had only the most natural of questions. How's this going to work with Joseph, to whom I'm not married yet? But when she kind of recovers her breath, as it were, her childlike trust in God takes over. All she needs to hear is the truth from the great good news messenger, Gabriel. Nothing is impossible with God. Through Advent, we have been encouraged to reflect quietly on our lives and to make room in our hearts again for the coming of Jesus, the Savior. To reflect. Whether we have done these things or not, it is now the right time to look forward to the coming of the light in the next few days. As John says at the beginning of his gospel, that is the light that shines in the darkness, that the darkness cannot overcome. We light 4 candles today as a reminder of the light that was promised by God. The promise of that light was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, foretold to David, announced by Gabriel, carried out through Mary, and fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That true light is now just waiting to come into our darkness. Every Christmas light, every candle, even the delights of the morning sun all testify to the coming of that light, which we must now, with Mary, invite into the center of our hearts. A priest named Father Joshua Wagner told a story in a homily about when he was a young boy at Christmas time, eager for a Transformers action figure. I don't know whether kids still play with Transformer action figures, but this is the story he told. His parents had a rule that no one could get up before 5 a.m. to wake them up to open their gifts. But young Joshua couldn't stand it. At 4 a.m., he snuck down to the tree to have a look. One present was marked with "To Joshua." Against his better judgment, he peeled back a little of the wrapping paper and he saw the Transformers figure that he had been hoping for. He put the wrapping paper back together and snuck back upstairs. Then about an hour later, he woke up his parents and headed downstairs. Much to their surprise and astonishment, they found no presents there and only a note from Santa explaining that because Joshua had peeked, Santa had taken away all the presents. Well, little Joshua had never cried so hard in his life. But it turned out that it was all a joke by Joshua's brother, Mark, because he had seen Joshua peeking. The presents came back out. And then Father Wagner joked that the unfortunate end of that story is that we haven't seen my brother Mark since then. I think that's just a joke. Father Wagner used the story to explain that during Advent, Christians wait in eager anticipation for the gift of Christmas, the coming of Jesus. It's still Advent, so it is not quite time to open the present of Jesus' birth. However, unlike with presents of toys and gadgets, it's okay for us to take a sneak peek. God wants us to anticipate what he has promised, and it's a present that he will never take away from us. Prepare the way in your heart. Get rid of what keeps you from doing that. We are heirs to his sacred oath, his covenant promise. You remember when Jesus says, "Unless you become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." You and I need to cultivate that intensity, that childlike longing in our hearts for the coming of Jesus. The candles are lit. There is more and more light. We get closer and closer to the light that illumines our hearts and gives us hope. We need Christ to be the light of the world, don't we? So what is the list of what God has done for us? It's everything. It's every blessed thing. That's what he promises, and that is what he does. So this week, make it the only must-do thing on your to-do list. Enter into the covenant promise Receive the light of Christ. Keep it burning brightly in your life.